found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Jameson Lombardo.
No. Click.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Jameson Lombardo sent us a Buster only tweet that we were not aware of, and it states this. Buster only says, as agents have noted, given the offers Carlos Correa got before the lockout, his previous agency would be in position to claim a majority of whatever he gets in a multi-year deal. If Correa signs for 1 year now, new agent Scott Boras will get all the dollars of a new deal next winter. All he's got to do is convince Carlos Correa.
This is a huge deal.
Listen, Carlos, I want to get all the money. Instead of a 10-year deal for you right now, let's do 1 year you risk getting injured and not getting a big multi-year offer. But I get all the money afterwards.
But he can't say that.
No, I know he's not saying that. That's not the way to sell it.
No, this is how you sell it. He's already done it. Just put two and two together. Carlos, you're worth $40 million a year. You're worth $400 million. That's your number. Your number shouldn't be $300 million. Your number is $40 million a year for 10 years. Your number's $400 million. Has that already been out on the table? Has Scott Boras already intimated that?
No, immediately he said four.
So you know why? Because he knows there's 0% chance that anybody will give him $40 million per year for 10 years. He knows there's a 0% chance that happens. So when it doesn't materialize, what do you do if you're Scott Boras? This is what you say. Carlos, it's not out there. The numbers aren't out there right now because everyone got the money early when you're with your other agency. Nothing I can do about that. Let's wait until let's sign 1 year deal, and next year we'll shoot for the $40 million because you're worth that. And as these rates go up next year, you're going to have a great year. You're going to be worth that. Don't take a short-term deal and leave $125 million on the table by taking like the Tigers deal. I've told you from the very beginning when I took over, your number is $40 million a year. Your number is $400 million. You're going to make way more than any of these other shortstops. That's the market now
sure
that I'm here.
Are you sure it's not just because you want to keep all of the commission instead of getting
Absolutely not, Carlos. I want you to get as much as you can. And what good is it going to do for you to save? Do you want to have all these other shortstops make it? Corey Seager, do you believe? Because right now the offers I'm getting are less than Corey Seager. Is that what you want? We can do that if you want to do it. But I'm just telling you right now, we will reset the market next year and make people wish they had given you that $40 million. That's how you do it. You tell Carlos right off the bat he's a $40 million a year player. He's a $400. The contract should start at $400 million. Nobody is ever going to give it to him. That's how you have to sell Carlos Correa. The market's not what it should be. It'll correct itself next year. Let's just do a one-year deal, and then next year when I get all the commission, we'll take that. We'll take that offer. We'll get up there, and if we can't get that, we'll make you the highest paid shortstop in the league. That's a sellable thing to Carlos Correa.
Yeah,
Boras is saying it.
No.
But you're right. Scott Boras is not going to do that if he's not getting that commission.
No. Scott Boras ain't giving that commission to...
This is a great... I didn't know that was that would be the case.
What was the entertainment...
It was William Morris.
William Morris. He ain't giving that to William Morris. He ain't giving all that money. Scott Boras ain't about that. He's about one-year deals for Carlos Correa.
Although it was also like... I read some stuff that it felt like it was... So Carlos didn't fire his agents because of their work. It was one of those, wasn't this because of the minor league ownership thing where it was conflict of interest and he couldn't have the same? Which one was it?
I think it was might have been a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I read an article
the biggest offer he had gotten was $275. He's like, hey, what's going on over here?
I know. I read an offer that fired him because of that.
Yeah. Well, it was very convenient that the minor league situation came up.
Okay.
Very convenient.
Yeah, that makes sense. Scott Boras will get you more, but Scott Boras ain't trying to get you more if he can't get the commission. This is great news. That tweet is the best tweet I've seen.
Yes.
This makes me feel like it's 75% Astros.
Yeah.
Because Scott Boras will work in the best interest of Scott Boras, which just happens to a lot, but unfortunately, it's also not going to be a two-year
deal.
There's
no way another team does a one-year or two-year deal. Well, maybe a two-year deal with Carlos Correa. Maybe. But they're not going to...
And risk
the Astros are certainly the huge favorites in a one-year, one or two-year deal.
I would rather it be 2 years, though.
I would, too.
You think there's a chance of now Boris might say, hey, 80 million, 2 years.
I don't think Crane would do that. I don't think it'd be more than 70. I don't think it'd be more than 70.
You really can't go more because you still have a per year.
No, because you got Tucker and Alvarez coming up and they go, well, you gave Carlos Correa 40 million a year. What? Okay. What are you talking about there, Mr. Crane? Mr. Jim? We're going to be catching some cash over here. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts. I'm telling you, the longer this goes, and Scott Boras knew all about this. I mean, this has been something. This had to be one of the talking points for him with Carlos Correa. Let's just do a 1 year deal, bro. That's all we need. 1 or 2 year deal. That's all we need right now. Yeah. You know what?
Get big money. And then
they're going to sign you to an 8 year deal worth a boatload.
Listen, Carlos, we got brand new money coming in from Apple, the Apple TV streaming deals. Let's give the market time to reset. Let's do 1, maybe even 2 years. Let's give the market time to reset. And then we're going to, let's do a series of 1 year. Let's do 2 1-year concurrent 1 year contracts where the first one is a guarantee. You have player option, the second one, and I get the full commission on that one. And then, I'm sorry, what was that? I get full commission on the second 1 year, and then we do the long term after that.
Yeah, right. We don't need to do
this. Is why Boras came in at $400 million contract, because he knew that expectation was impossible to meet this year, and he would be able to resell Carlos on the idea of a short-term deal. The thing is, Jim Crane's got to be willing to play. And if you're Jim, you know the deal. You know exactly what's happening. Yeah, we'll play the deal too. We want to keep him here longer. So, yeah, whatever game you're playing, Scott, that's fine. We'll play it too.
Right.
But we're not giving him more than $35 million.
So the Astros had a couple of big signings. Nico Goodrum, he can play short, second, outfield. And then Lewis Brinson, he was signed to a minor league contract. Those two happened over the weekend. We've also got...
And we had talked extensively about Nico Goodrum on Friday.
Well...
About the potential for a Nico Goodrum to potentially
there
be
was
on
a
this
Nico
team.
Goodrum sighting, but you know what? Nico Goodrum, hey, it's just... I just thought it was assumed. Everybody knew Nico Goodrum would be on the
Do
club.
Do you think Nico Goodrum hit higher or lower than 215 last year?
At this point, I would think lower.
214. Now, the year before, he was at a paltry 184.
So
I'm not 100% sure he's making the team is what I'm trying to
tell you. Well, that's on you.
He's a 30-year-old.
If you don't believe in Nico Goodrum.
He's a 30-year-old, light-hitting version of Aledmys Diaz.
How's he still around hitting 214?
Well, he's only played 5 years in the league. He came up when he was,
never
his top
heard
year,
of a Nico Goodrum.
Not even in 19 when he hit 248.
No, never even.
And had an OPS of 740.
Never heard of him.
It's a higher OPS than I would have
expected. Clayton
Kershaw's
back with the Dodgers on a 1 year deal. Carlos Rodon goes to the Giants for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Nelson Cruz.
I like the Rodon deal for the Giants. I thought that was a pretty good deal.
And the Giants are a good team, too. And Rodon is a big get. Nelson Cruz, a 1 year deal to the Nats. Mentioned Josh Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to the Yankees for Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela. That's a big deal. Sanchez and Urshela out with the Yankees, and Donaldson and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa in. Sonny Gray was traded to the Twins. Twins were busy this weekend. The Mets traded for Chris Bassett, which is nice to get him out of the division. That's nice. Nothing. White Sox signed Joe Kelly, our favorite, my favorite guy.
Oh man, what a good dude!
That with that face, that pouty face, can't wait to beat his ass. Andrelton Simmons signs with the Cubs. Is that a sign that the Cubs aren't going to sign Carlos Correa? Because the Cubs were one of the favorites.
I think the Cubs know what most teams know right now is that Scott Boras ain't trying to get a deal done. This is easy to me now. Now that I have that information for Buster Olney of how the contract would work. I guess the idea is this is the measuring stick that's on the table. I don't know how it works, but if that's accurate, that agents are saying that Scott Boras would not get a majority of a commission for a long-term deal, it is 100% not in his best interest to do that. I'm not afraid of anybody anymore. If he signs a short-term deal with somebody else, he signs a short-term deal. Carlos Correa, he will not. It would have to be over the best wishes and over the urgings of Scott Boras. There's no chance Scott Boras urges a player to do a deal that would minimize the amount of money he makes. There's no chance.
No chance. No chance whatsoever. All right. Back to Deshaun Watson on the other side. 713-780-3776. If you've got any thoughts about Deshaun, you're more than welcome to get in here to talk about that. What did you think this weekend when the ruling came down?
Let me set this question up for you guys to jump in now. When and if, not even if, when Deshaun Watson is traded, I want to hear what your thoughts are. What is your takeaway going to be on the Deshaun Watson time in Houston? How are you going to feel about Deshaun Watson? Because I actually am curious about what people think of Deshaun. I've seen some people turn negative towards Deshaun after this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Specifically how he handled it.
I would think the majority would be, but you guys come on in.
Yeah, 713-780-3776. When Deshaun Watson's traded, how are you going to remember Deshaun's time from 2017? Let's face it, all the way to 2022. How are you going to remember the Deshaun Watson time here, and what is your takeaway going to be about Deshaun Watson? How are you going to feel about Deshaun Watson? I'm very curious to hear what listeners think. 713-780-3776.
All right, time for me to talk about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. Truck month is here. You can build and price your F-150. And here's the deal. 60 months financing, 0%. Zero cash down. Zero payments for 90 days. Who is doing that now? Don't pay over MSRP at Chastain Ford, and don't get any dealer add-ons. This is happening at Chastain Ford. Now, they also have pre-owned inventory, high-quality pre-owned inventory with no dealer add-ons as well. 90% of their pre-owned vehicles are certified. They will also buy your vehicle, give you top dollar, an easy process to sell with Chastain Ford. Look, if you're looking for the best deal, who is doing 0% financing? Who is doing no cash down, no payments? Who is doing not paying over MSRP? Nobody in this business is, except Chastain Ford, my peeps. The no add-on dealership. I love them. You'll love them too. Get the Ford car or truck at the price that you want right now and build it yourself. All at ChastainFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown. It's my peeps at Chastain Ford.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's definitely a very emotional moment for me. I know we're far from being done of handling what we need to handle on the legal side, but today is definitely a big day, and I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for, you know, letting the truth be heard. And I thank everyone that was a part of this, of seeing and hearing both sides. And that's what my point and my team wanted to do is have a fair slate of us telling our side of the story, and letting the conclusion come down to what happened today, and that's what the grand jury decided on. So thank you, and I just thank my Lord and Savior, and just gonna keep fighting to rebuild my name and rebuild my appearance in the community. And you know, we're going to continue to, on the legal side, off the field, handle what we need to handle, but also ready to get back on the field, been prepping for that, and ready to go for that. So thank my family, all my close supporters that's been behind me this past year. Thank my team that's been behind me and supporting me and keeping me up this past year. And, I'm going to continue to just keep pushing forward and build my name back to where it was, if not better. Thank you.
So you did shout out Jesus for him taking a fifth. One of the things
He was not. He had not no build. Okay.
No, in depositions he said he did. He was deposed.
Rusty said he's not going to take the fifth. He is going to answer questions now. So he said during a criminal investigation, he's not going to answer any questions. But now he is going to.
Okay. What side of the story? I guess they technically told their.
No,
side
he's
of
not
going to
incriminate
story.
Himself. That's not going to happen.
No, nor should you.
No, you can't incriminate yourself.
What are your takeaways before we get to? So my question is this. with Deshaun Watson likely traded and maybe as early as this week, and I know Carolina has been really, really starving for Deshaun Watson and any Deshaun Watson info they could get. Just some pretty good sources have said that they want to know exactly what's going on with Deshaun from a legal standpoint this entire time, from a team standpoint, for everything. So, and now Matt Rhule, more than any time, is on a major hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Deshaun Watson in could be, now, you know, we don't know if Deshaun will even play for them. Deshaun's got a no trade. One of the worst things the Texans did was give him no trade, because now Deshaun's like, nah, he's being very picky about the teams he's even willing to consider. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what, under the auspice of limited framework for a deal based on teams Deshaun's willing to pay for, we'll see what Nick Caserio can get. All you people that wanted him just cut because he wasn't worth the hassle, you're going to find out why you were never right here. It's going to go down probably this week. But what do you, Deshaun Watson, you remember 17, incredible. We're on the heels of a phenomenal run by the Houston Astros. Deshaun Watson comes in. 2 years prior, he'd been a national champ. He had been national champion and had been beaten in national championship, right? Or no? Did he come out right after winning a national championship?
I think they won.
Was it right after?
Was it 4?
Because he beat Alabama.
Yeah, 4-13. And then he came out.
And Hunter Renfrow is the same year. Okay,
that's 4-13.
So anyway, Deshaun had these incredible games against the Seahawks and the Patriots.
Maybe not. I don't know. What's the difference? He had a great career.
Well, there was a lot of momentum for Deshaun Watson headed into the pros. I mean, you knew he had had a great year. He'd been a team. I think it was the year before. He had beaten Alabama, and then Deshaun Watson has phenomenal games against New England and Seattle, big time teams at the time. You're talking about Super Bowl teams. And then he gets hurt right after the Astros win a World Series. Deshaun Watson gets hurt, hurts his knee. And then, you know, we know the rest of the waves. Okay in 18, really good in 19, even better in 20, but the team stunk. What is your takeaway from the Deshaun Watson time? How do you feel about Deshaun? What's your takeaway of Deshaun Watson, the quarterback?
Disappointed in him. I was a big fan. I've said it 1,000 times.
Remember how much in fantasy?
I jumped off the couch when they drafted him. I couldn't have been happier.
You spent $26 on him 1 year in our auction.
I did.
Yeah.
I thought
you were a huge fan.
I was a huge fan.
You predicted at 1.50 touchdowns.
Yeah, which he did.
You were the biggest Deshaun fan.
Which he did. Almost. And I was a huge fan. Not anymore. Not a fan anymore. First of all the stuff that he put the organization through. Second, first the accusations and all of this stuff. I mean, I'm not going to judge his character. That's not my job. I'm judging him by what happened on the football field, and what happened on the football field is he quit his team. And in some ways I can't blame him, because the owner is a jamoke. And this is on him. And if you had strong ownership, none of this would have happened. But Cal created all of this situation with Deshaun Watson. And but I still think Deshaun
created some of his own.
Deshaun is extremely disappointing here. And I'm not going to be a fan. I'm not going to. You know, I'm a fan of George Springer in Toronto. You know what? I'm a fan of Charlie Morton. I'm not going to be a fan of Deshaun.
Well, they didn't exit the same way. It's not even close.
No, it's not even close. All right, Mike, what do you think about Deshaun and how you're going to look at him going forward?
Here's what I feel. I understand him not being happy with ownership, because I think our ownership sucks. So he demands a trade. But then when everything came out where he was untradeable, he sits on his butt all year and we have to pay him. I think he's a worthless human being, and I hope, I'm glad he will be gone, and I'll never watch a game he plays unless he's playing against the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Worthless human being. That's 1-713-780-3776. What are your thoughts on Deshaun? Brian, now that he's going to be gone, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, a quick comment. Not sure if y'all see what Buster Olney just tweeted about Correa, but something to just check out a tweet from just a couple minutes
ago.
Yeah, we read it.
For those, we'll rehash it again. Buster Olney had agents reach out to him to point out the fact that we'll make sure this is what you're talking about. If Carlos Correa were to sign a long-term deal, a majority of the commission would go to William Morris, who previously was his agent. And if but starting next year, is that the same
new tweet? Agents have been predicting for weeks that Correa could take a deal in the range of 6 years with the Astros at a high salary with an opt-out after the first year.
Oh, no. No good.
Mitigate some of the risk for him, and Houston would get a key player back. Crane has no interest in rebuilding.
Well, what do you mean get a key player back?
Well, for 1 year.
Oh, just him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a one-year deal so Scott Boras can get back.
Then his six at 150?
It won't be 150. It'd probably be higher than that.
Six at 200?
Maybe. I don't know. But it'd probably be higher than 150.
Okay, so is that the one you were talking about, Brian?
Yeah, the one about Crane having no interest in rebuilding. But on Deshaun, first of all, I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior for allowing me to make this call. So, first of all, thanks for that. And, when it comes to his on-field performance, hell, I thought for 4 years he was a great quarterback. He kept the Texans in every game he played in and gave them a chance to win. I mean, you saw that in, what was it, 2020? Even when they were bad, they had numerous chances to win. But his off-field stuff, and I'm not even talking about everything in civil court, just the way he acted, he reminded me a lot of James Harden and the temper tantrum he threw and just, wanting to take his ball and go home and, throwing a hissy fit and all of that. I mean, Lynch, your boys do that. They're just taking it out on each other on the basketball court. And that's what somebody should have done to him, honestly. Is just, somebody just take him out and just say, all right, we're not going to have this crap. But overall, I mean, as a player, I still think he's one hell of a player. And, hey, he made it entertaining for me as a season ticket holder for 4 years. I loved it. But I'm ready to move on and start over and let's, get something, get the best package we can for him and just be done with this fiasco.
Yeah. I think, the Deshaun Watson, a football player, there's no doubt he was just a really terrific talent here in Houston. I do think sometimes we misremember there were games. My biggest concern was that when he had the big game against the big showdown against Lamar Jackson and Lamar's, Deshaun was a big-time MVP candidate. I don't know if you remember that, John, but Deshaun was an MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Headed into that game against Lamar Jackson, and I mean, just absolutely crapped the bed. And I think Deshaun showed a lot of upside. He had some really good stats. He had some moments where he made some unbelievable plays. He started to get better as a quarterback, which is more than just the fun plays are great, but what you want to see is a quarterback grow. And that's something that I talked to Quincy Avery about. Quincy even had his own doubts that Deshaun would ever get to the point where he needed to in terms of reading defenses. And yet he, one of the things that happened was he got a lot better at it in 2020. Under Tim Kelly, interestingly enough, is he started recognizing defenses and getting the ball out quicker in some of the games. So, but with all that said and done, the way for some people it's going to be the 22 lawsuits and the women and the stuff like that. That plays into it. But even regardless of that, the fact that he just said, I'm going to shut it down. Like, there's been a lot of players who've been unhappy, who made their unhappiness known, who maybe requested a trade, and then they keep playing. That's what it's been forever. Like, literally for years and years, guys have requested trades and been unhappy, and they let you know about it, and they keep playing. The one time that it didn't happen for a while, and I was reminded about this, was Scottie Pippen. Last Dance, you're reminded that Scottie mm-hmm. was just... in his last year of his, but Deshaun had just gotten a brand new contract. And I think that's what's going to always sit really poorly with a lot of Texans fans is their belief that he negotiated a contract knowing to Bill O'Brien. And, his deal got done after D-Hop was traded. D-Hop was already traded when that deal got done, right? It got done in August. D-Hop was traded in the spring when COVID was first popping off.
I don't believe that's the timeline.
You don't think so?
I think it was negotiated because it was an extension on his deal already, and then D-Hop was traded. I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
He signed a contract
and we got
January 21st. No. Deshaun Watson signs 4-year extension. September 5th, 2020. When was D-Hop traded?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was traded before that. Yes. He was
DeAndre Hopkins was traded. Let's see. He was actually, there's a lot of articles about why was he traded. But DeAndre Hopkins was actually traded. I'll see if I can get the exact timing of it. But everyone's looking at timeline of it. He was actually traded in the I think it was right after the draft. I'm trying to find the exact time. It's kind of hard to find the exact time, but I already know. I remember where I was when I heard about the trade. It was literally
March 22nd. The Houston Texans and a fourth round pick to in 2020 draft. So he was traded right before the 2020 draft.
So there, yeah, that's right, because they used that pick. They dealt it for for Brandon
Cooks.
Right when COVID started, Deshaun signed. That was the people's point is, hey, if Deshaun was so unhappy, why did he sign this deal with the Texans then?
Because he got a no-trade clause.
Well, yeah, and their thought was that for some people believe this, and this might be accurate, that Deshaun signed it understanding that there was a chance he'd be doing this.
Yeah.
Because of the D-Hop stuff, and he said, I'm going to play nice.
It's a Mulugeta play. There's no question about it.
And there's people who, I know there are people who are upset about that. Like, you watched them trade DeAndre Hopkins away, and you still signed your deal and didn't have any qualms doing it and were happy in press conferences and all that stuff.
Right.
So there are people who think this is kind of like, why did you sign that long-term deal and then not even play a single down on?
We got more. If you guys want to get in, Julian wants to talk about Deshaun, and anybody else wants in, 713-780-3776, you're more than welcome. Right now, though, we're talking about mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag, look, right now you got so much stuff going on, people. The NCAA tournament, baseball is going to be back. You got, there's golf. It's just unbelievable. The only thing you don't have is college football and baseball. Otherwise, you got hockey, you got everything, and they got everything that you could possibly want. But the tournament is here, and they got the MyBookie Bracket Contest. You can win a Bitcoin, a Doodle NFT, and over $100,000 more in cash prizes. You got until March 17th to get in and get your free spot in the My Bracket Contest. You've got until March 17th, which is just a couple days away. So if you're looking for a great way to get in absolutely free playing in the My Bracket where you get a chance to win all kinds of big stuff. Now, hey, you may not care about that. You just want, hey, I want a place where I can bet on my bracket. I want a place where I can bet on the national championship winner. I'm looking for player or game props. I got that as well at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. But if you want to get into the My Bracket contest, you got to go now. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. David Wiener tweets, it's great that the Texans may end up getting decent trade value for Watson, but that doesn't erase the organizational failings that led to him refusing to play for this franchise any longer. You know, Deshaun looks bad in this deal, but the organization is not without blame. As a matter of fact, it is. This whole thing is on the organization. This whole thing is on Cal. This whole thing is on ownership and leadership. This whole thing is on just a disaster of an organization failing the players, failing the city, failing in every way, shape, and form. Since Cal has taken over, it has been comical. It's been comical. And now you have to get rid of a quarterback who, I mean, it's so rare to see a Deshaun Watson, to see a player of his caliber at this age with 4 years on a contract being traded. A top five quarterback in the league that has to go because you are such a dysfunctional organization.
And make no mistake, this is all. Now, Deshaun is douchey. Looks terrible.
After all this stuff, you think that even with, okay, so he got no build. Will the Texans potentially want him back?
Hell no.
So all this stuff, even with the other stuff,
if he hadn't started this because of Cal's incompetence, then he would still be their quarterback.
No, but these losses,
they would have been behind. They would have been behind their guy. That Friday. Well, he would have played all last year.
You know these.
He would have played all last year.
But this was already going on
for all this stuff.
But it was already going on during the season.
Yeah, I know. He would have played.
Like they had already gone to Tony Busby. That was already.
He would have played. It's civil suits. Guys have played with civil suits against them.
I don't know that I would just say that Jack Easterby and Nick.
Well,
Nick,
there's, Nick a, there's, Caserio, your, there's your first problem.
Nick Caserio.
Jack
is one
Easterby
thing.
Making any decisions about who's going to be on the field.
But Jack, I'm saying with Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, it's a pretty bad look. 22 women coming forward and the things that they said they did and all that stuff. That was a pretty bad look, too. That's kind of independent of the other stuff. I almost put that to the side. I'm not 100% sure the Texans would want him with 22. What you're banking on is there wouldn't have been 22 lawsuits. And none of that stuff would have come out.
No, I'm not. He would have played last year with the 22 lawsuits.
Well, but he would have played, but then the 22 lawsuits.
What?
Would the Texans wanted to distance themselves? What they
maybe,
keep,
maybe not.
Then why would you not want?
But if it wasn't for all of this garbage that Cal, because Cal is so incompetent and Deshaun wanted out, he wanted out of this dysfunctional organization, then he would have been on the field and he'd still be on the field.
So Cal McNair can't be dysfunctional, the organization can't be dysfunctional, and Deshaun can't be, both can't be true?
No, it would be true. Oh, there would be a problem.
Yeah,
no question there would be a problem.
I think there'd be a big problem. He made it easier to cut ties, obviously, when he's not even showing up at the team, and it was a farce just him going into camp. But because all that stuff had broken when Deshaun was in camp. Remember, he was just trying to get his money. The only reason Deshaun was in camp was to make sure paychecks didn't stop. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
It wasn't for football. It was a joke. He didn't even really participate.
No, but again, this is all everything started. The igniter for the whole thing was Cal's incompetence. And it cannot be understated how important that is, that you're getting rid of what, this is what every team covets, a top five quarterback. You have a chance to win at the highest level when you have that position solidified. You had it solidified. You let it slip away because of your incompetence.
But you're just going to gloss over the lawsuits?
No, I'm not glossing over the lawsuits.
How much did they pay?
That would obviously be a factor right now. We would all be going. We would all have breathed a sigh of relief on Friday.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, now he's gone.
You're right. That's probably what it would be. Is you firmly just say, we knew these women were lying. Like we see Twitter saying.
I wouldn't have said that.
No.
I wouldn't have said that.
No, we wouldn't, but I see Twitter.
No.
Texans fans might have.
But it would have opened the door for him playing for you.
Yes.
And listen, the door was open for him playing. Well, how many times did you say, he should be on the field for them right now?
Yeah.
Don't let him sit.
You could have forced him. You could have forced
him to
hand.
Play.
You could have forced
now
him
to play. And you would have, you wouldn't even have had to force him to play if it wasn't for your own incompetence. Julian is here. What's up, Julian? Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about y'all?
Good.
So I'm calling because of the Deshaun thing. Obviously, people over here bashing him, talking about James Harden and stuff. The thing about James is he had a owner that actually had players come in to help him. I'm not sure who the Texans have brought in, other than obviously they drafted JJ. Who they brought in that would make Deshaun go to elevate that next level? I mean, he sat out for a reason.
Well, they did bring in, when they needed a left tackle, Tunsil? They brought Tunsil in, and they gave up the farm for him. I mean, they wanted that. And listen, D-Hop, they traded him. They traded D-Hop because they didn't feel like D-Hop was a good fit in locker room-wise. He's not a practicer. They felt like they needed to get rid of that guy to be better.
Deshaun played with him for 2.5 years.
Yeah. And let's not forget, they did bring him in. They did bring in
Will Fuller
DeAndre
was
Hopper.
Always hurt. Deshaun had some issues getting his wide receivers to ever practice, and it was an issue with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was not happy. The D-Hop didn't practice. The Will Fuller was never able to practice. The Kenny Stills was not a practicer. You know, that was a concern. They did not look. things weren't great with Deshaun, with the Texans for Deshaun Watson. He had Bill O'Brien. By the way, I came face to face with Bill O'Brien.
No, you did not.
Yeah, let's finish this because I'll get easily distracted. But I think I'm not comfortable comparing James and Deshaun are two different. I don't know. I don't look at them the same way at all. James was giving literally everything, as much money as you want. We'll do everything you say. You're the boss of us. Like Daryl Morey and Tillman and Les Alexander, mostly Les and Daryl, though, were literally James was the boss of them. So this is how much money I'll be taking, and these are who can be my coaches and who can't. And these are who my players are and who is not my players.
And listen, when Deshaun was here, they brought in Tyrann Mathieu. They signed him as a free agent.
They let him go against Deshaun's wills.
Well, they still brought him in, and they were in the playoffs, and they did have a 24-0 lead on Kansas City.
Right.
They did. All of those things were happening. They did bring players in. It's not like they were devoid of talent.
It wasn't great, though. It was not.
No, it wasn't great.
They tried. There were some things that just didn't.
No, but it wasn't like, no, but they then. The incompetence of the organization just overrode everything that they have ever done. It's just unbelievable how bad, how comical this organization is. 842 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for me to talk about absolute marble and granite. I'm looking at a video right now of a beautiful bar and this room that is just with windows and this is the kind of thing that Jeff Aronoff can do for you. It's the kind of thing you want a bar built. Jeff Aronoff does that. You want in your home. What you want a playroom? What is it that you're looking for? I'm telling you, all you need is Jeff Aronoff to come. He can design it. He will make it perfect for you. If you're looking for a great, great way to change that kitchen, to change those bathrooms, that den, that bar area, whatever it is, all you got to do, my friends, is give Jeff Aronoff a call, 713-880-2822. That's all you have to do is give him a call, and Jeff Aronoff is going to take care of you. He's going to be able to design it. He will help you pick out all of the different materials, be it the granite, the countertops, whatever it is, the brick, and he's going to do this at a price. And he's going to give you 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. Got to be a big job, but Jeff Aronoff is ready for you. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
846 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. According to Hector Gomez, Astros intensify talks to bring Carlos Correa back to Houston. More than likely, it looks like a one-year deal because Scott Boras can then get, after the one-year deal is up, Scott Boras can claim all of the money from the contract as opposed to the agents that Carlos previously had getting a cut of that. So that makes a lot of sense on a one-year deal. I wish it was two years deal, but Carlos, 27 years old. He'll come back as a free agent at 28. Still very young. And as long as you're in your 20s, which is why I'd like to see him get a two-year deal, a two-year out on this deal. It could be a six-year deal with a one-year out. And Carlos will take that out
two
and then go into the free
agent. Cooler.
Cool. Two would be great.
One,
he'd still
just
be in his 20s.
Yeah. You're just lame ducking it after one. And who knows? Maybe Jim Crane, like, maybe he alters his thinking. Maybe Carlos doesn't play as well.
There's that possibility, although you don't want that if you're the Astros.
No, that's a dangerous proposition.
You want him to play as well as he did last year. You want, or better. And you want him healthy the entire year. This is risky business for Carlos, although he will get a six-year deal, but he'll have a one-year out, a player out.
So if we're giving him the one-year out, then we don't want to be on the hook for more than $30 million a year. So if I'm the Astros, I say we'll do six at 180 with a one-year out.
six at one, or you do the first year more than the other years. You could do 150 and do the first year at 30 and then declining after that. Yeah.
You mean your old offer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could do that, maybe.
You can do that. As long as that first year is big at 30 or whatever, then, and he's not opposed to paying 30.
I think it'll be, yeah.
Altuve's getting it. Bregman's getting 35 this year. Verlander got 35. I mean, it's not. He's not opposed to paying people. It's just he don't want to. He don't want to do a long term commitment, and I can't blame him. I think it's good business if you want to know the truth. Although the trend toward in Major League Baseball is 10-year deals now for all big name free or 14-year deals now with Bryce Harper and Fernando Tatis signing 14-year deals. Holy crap! And Crane doesn't want to go more than six. How many free agents are the Astros going to get in the future if they don't go more than 6 years ever?
Yeah.
There's going to be a problem. Alex is here. Alex, what's up, bro?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show as usual. As far as Deshaun goes, I have something about Carlos as well. I'm sure it's been explained, and I still don't get it. Why did they let him sit on the bench last year and pay him? Why not just force his hand and say, I don't care what you want. You sign this contract. You're going to go out on that field and you're going to perform. And if you don't, then we're not going to pay you. And, I mean, was it 110% all about getting a better draft position? Was it all about that? Or was it like trying to save face? We don't want him to go out there and embarrass us? I don't understand it. I don't understand the concept of allowing this guy to have all the power.
I don't know. I told you. But when it was happening, Bucky Brooks came out and said, what are the Texans doing? And it wasn't just him. I had a scout on another team say, the Texans should 100% force his hand. You have to make Deshaun make the decision, and then you don't have to pay.
Might have been more about the 22 lawsuits. I mean, once he decided he's never playing for the Houston Texans again, and then the 22 lawsuits came out, you were like, oh, my gosh. Well, okay. You know what? The feeling is mutual. Now, if he just decided and there were no 22 lawsuits, I would imagine they would have forced him to play. But
I don't think they were going to. And here's the reason why. I think they were trying to play nice because ultimately.
Well, they would have been able to trade him before the front of 22 lawsuits. So.
Yeah, at some point, Nick Caserio realized we want to deal this guy and we don't. And he's got a no trade. Remember, Deshaun has no trade clause. I don't think there was ever a time that they wanted to make it so contentious that they couldn't get a deal done. Because I also think they wanted to get a deal done a lot faster than it's getting done. I think they would have preferred to get it done earlier. So I don't think they wanted a contentious relationship, or they would have started pushing. They would have really pushed the issue in camp to force him to actually practice and then gone after his signing bonus. If you really wanted to be aggressive, you start putting forward the... You start putting things in motion where you can attack the signing bonus and get that big chunk of money back. And they never did it, and I think it's because they never wanted it to get that contentious because ultimately he has a no-trade clause that they negotiated in. If he didn't, I think there was some of that.
Once the 22 lawsuits hit, I think there was some.
Then why have him come to camp?
He came to camp. You didn't invite him. He came to camp.
No, he came to camp so you didn't take his money away from him. Why not
just
tell him?
That's why he came to camp.
But you could have just said, Deshaun, we don't want you here.
Yeah. Well,
you could have done that if you wanted to, and they chose not to. They had him here for a full, week and a half to 2 weeks?
To run on the sidelines, yeah.
Yeah, you could have just said, just stay
home.
Listen,
they didn't know. Listen, this is all new territory. Do you think that there's a playbook for this thing?
No, especially not this.
No. So a lot of mistakes have been made.
I think they should have pushed
sides.
For him to play, and that way you could have forced Deshaun's hand in terms of saying I don't want to play, and you could have not paid him for not playing, but you chose not to do that. So it doesn't matter. It's water under the bridge now. I mean, it's Texans' money. They decided to do it. It's not your money. It's not my money. But I thought it was interesting. At the time, NFL people were saying, what are y'all doing down there? Deshaun Watson should be forced to play. And when he doesn't want to play, then you don't have to pay him because he's not going to play. He's not going to play. He's not going to go on the road. Bucky's whole point was he's not going on the road to face opposing fans. Never would he do that. He'll just tell you he's not playing, and then you don't have to pay him. But they never even tried it.
Lamont said, I don't buy Deshaun being upset about upper management decisions. Based upon what you know about that perv, Do you think he wanted to be making high-level decisions? Yes, he did. He told him he wanted to be part of the process, and they didn't make him part of the process, Lamont. That was that's obvious.
Well, I don't think
that's why. That's why he said he never wanted to play here again. He was upset about upper management. He's upset about Cal and the leadership. I can't blame him. They're stupid. It's a terrible organization. And Tom in downtown. Deshaun Watson leaving Houston, I believe, will be viewed like Shaquille O'Neal leaving Orlando. Stupidity on the ownership drove a player away that will win championships elsewhere. I don't know if he's Shaq, but because, well, Shaq was on, I guess he was on some poor teams too. Was Shaq ever on poor teams? Bad teams?
No, Orlando was.
No, Orlando was no, good
Orlando
when he was there.
Orlando was a good team.
The Lakers.
He didn't get along with Penny. And then he went, he went to good teams.
So Deshaun was on, I don't know that he's Shaq because Shaq just changes teams immediately. Deshaun won 4 games 1 year.
Shaq had an issue with another young star. Shaq's already said he didn't like the way he handled the Orlando thing or the, Shaq has pointed, he's painted himself as being a guy who was harder to get along with than he realized at the time for Kobe and for Penny Hardaway. So.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the same.
ha ha ha! I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior and Taylor for allowing me to send this tweet. What is wrong with you, Art? Art?
He said, "So Jesus is in DW4's corner, but not the women." Jesus, wild dog. No, Deshaun Jesus mentioned. Not... Deshaun mentioned Jesus. Stop saying Jesus, wild dog during Lent. Okay, Art.
No, never say it.
Cut Art. It out.
Jesus is not a wild dog, okay?
He wild dog is what he's comma dog.
Not, yeah.
He didn't call him a wild dog.
Well, no. He's wild.
He's wild dog.
Jesus is not wild.
He's not wild.
Hey, all right.
Some of the stuff,
hey,
though.
Hey, all right. Read a little scripture.
It
was a little wild. It got a little wild there. Now. But, all right, read some scriptures. It'll make you a better person.
It got a little wild in the first book.
It'll make you a better person, Art, okay? So that would be great. If you would actually read the Bible, Art, you'll be a much better person for it. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6, the number if you'd like to get in here to hang out with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you learn about NCAA tournament teams this weekend? Because let's do that on the other side. Let's talk a little. I don't remember the brackets coming out and us literally totally ignoring them. I mean, that's how. With Tom Brady, Deshaun Watson, Carlos Correa. I mean, we've forgotten about the NCAA tournament, Lance. We always talk tournament the day after the selection.
Tom, yeah, except for the fact that Tom Brady came back, Deshaun Watson got no build, and there's a chance Carlos Correa comes back even if for a year. I mean, no offense, but that feels bigger than the tournament.
And the Cougs are 5 seed. Thank you, good night.
Yeah? Cool, all right. They were a 2 seed.
Jump on board. Jump on, brother. All right? Climb on, brother. And you need to climb on with your insurance.
Yeah, or windows, like Allstate Windows. That's a different climbing on board, but you can climb on board the double pane, double strength windows and get off of the poorly built thin windows that you have with your aluminum windows. Those old ratty things, A, they don't look good. B, they don't work very well. Windows that are made here in the state of Texas that are used by Allstate Windows and Siding are energy efficient. They're built for Texas tough weather. They're built to beautify your home and to really, really improve on energy efficiency. This has been a family-run company for over 4 generations, and Allstate Windows and Siding are here to help Houston, and that includes military, senior citizen, and cash discounts that are available. Invest in beautiful quality windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. All you have to do is connect with them today. Call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Mention ESPN and my name, and you're going to get 25% off your windows. And for a limited time, no interest for 36 months when you mention you heard about it from Lance Zierlein on ESPN. Remember, for the best rate, call Allstate. AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real, fun sports.